Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Feeling refreshing as you're stepping out the door this morning. Temperatures are mainly in the 50s. I'll show you how many more pleasant mornings like this we'll see this week.
The Raleigh Christmas Parade is scheduled to happen in less than 2 months. The organization behind the event is taking their plans to City Council today.
And big changes could be coming for students and parents in Wake County. WRAL's Kelsey Coffey will explain why school leaders are considering moving students to different schools next year. Lots to share with you in this 8 o'clock hour here in Fox 50. We thank you for joining us. I'm Ken Smith.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. And we're okay with the big changes happening weather-wise, right?
Yeah.
10 degrees off of yesterday where it was.
Love it.
Yesterday was good. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a beautiful look behind you.
Yeah, this time of year, you know, it gets better and better until it doesn't. Oh, yeah. You know what I'm talking about. Let's take a look. Beautiful out there, though, right now. This is a look at Zebulon, their historic town hall. Beautiful lawn here. Gorgeous blue sky. 57 degrees with a dew point of 55, which just feels delightful. It just jumped to 63 in Fayetteville, but still 48 in Roxboro. Most of us are seeing temperatures in the mid to upper 50s still, so we're hanging on to these pleasant temperatures. Honestly, it's going to feel nice all day. Mid-70s at lunchtime. Hopefully, you can get outside and enjoy. We see a high of 83 this afternoon. During the evening, our temperatures are back into the 70s, looking lovely. It would be nice to just copy and paste this, you know, for the next couple of months, but we do have the potential for some rain over the weekend. A low will develop off the coast of Florida, could develop some tropical characteristics, but even if it doesn't, it's still likely to form and push some rain our way over the weekend. It could start as early as late Friday. This is Friday at 6 p.m. It may rotate more rain across our area during the day Saturday. That's Saturday at 6 p.m. And then it shifts northward during the day Sunday, but we may still see a few isolated showers. A different version of Futurecast has the low farther offshore with less rain for us, still some rain for the coastline. So we're going to be watching the new information as it keeps coming in. So if you have outdoor plans on Saturday, keep checking back. Brett?
Thanks, Elizabeth. Let's take a look at traffic. We have an update to breaking news out on I-87 coming in from the Knightdale area, down to a 27-minute delay. That's all because that crash has started to clear in on I-87 near Smithfield Road. It has caused some major backups, though, and those will linger for at least the next few minutes while they work to get these last couple of cars there that are in that median right there near Smithfield Road. It caused up to a 45-minute backup at one point, but traffic is starting to flow. So that's good news. Stay on I-87 if you're out there right now, and you will get through that pretty soon. I-40 westbound crash near US 70 business. That's causing about a 20-minute delay. That's still lingering because of the left lane being blocked near 40 westbound coming in from that Cleveland area. And then over on I-40 eastbound near Alston Avenue, there is a new crash that just popped up in the last 10 or 15 minutes, causing a little bit of a backup, nothing too major. The one that we do want to keep you aware of, though, is on the Durham Freeway itself. You can see lots of red and yellow pockets along the Durham Freeway. Give yourself a few extra minutes if you're going using that route into Durham. Jeff and Ken.
Today, the graduate student accused of shooting and killing a UNC professor on campus last month is due in court. Tyler Chi is charged with first-degree murder and is being held without bond. He's accused of shooting and killing Professor Zijie Yen on campus August 28th. The shooting prompted a campus-wide lockdown.
Well, no classes will be held on the campus of NC State today. Students have the day off to focus on their mental health. This wellness day was previously scheduled on the school year calendar. The university says the purpose is to give students the opportunity to evaluate how they're doing during this busy semester. They're encouraged to check themselves and check in on friends and colleagues. This day also includes events all across campus to support mental health and well-being.
Business leaders and others will address Raleigh City Council today about the new plan for this city's Christmas parade this year. And WRAL's Monica Casey joins us from City Hall, where we're expecting to learn more about how the city plans to move forward with how this parade will roll off. Monica?
Well, less than 2 months from now, the Raleigh Christmas Parade will be happening downtown. Today, the Greater Raleigh Merchants Association will be here speaking to City Council about their hopes for the event. After first deciding not to grant a permit for the parade, the city reversed course and reached a compromise with the Merchants Association. The original decision to cancel the parade came after 11-year-old Haley Brooks was hit and killed during last year's parade by an out-of-control pickup truck on Hillsborough Street. Street. The Brooks family released a statement saying they disagreed with the decision to cancel the parade. The event will now go on, but look quite different. The November 18th parade will not have motorized vehicles or floats. The work session begins at 11:30 here today, and City Council's regular session will start at 1. In Raleigh, Monica Casey, WREL News.
And as always, you'll be able to watch this year's parade live on WREL. It will be Saturday, November 18th, 9 a.m., the 50th year broadcasting the parade live on WREL.
Well, many families in Wake County could see some big changes when it comes to the school the children will be attending next year. School leaders will talk about their plans to shuffle kids into different schools to help address overcrowding and other concerns. WREL's Kelsey Coffey this morning on this story. And Kelsey, this could mean some major disruptions for many families.
Ken, good morning. It sure could. And today, parents of students across 21 Wake County schools will find out if their child will have to go to a new school next school year. And discussions have been happening here at the board about this proposed plan to see if it could get approved. The students will move out of overcrowded schools or move into schools that are closer to their homes under this proposed plan. But some students who were in traditional calendar schools would have to move to year-round schools and vice versa. 22 year-round schools would no longer have a dedicated traditional calendar school that students could apply to transfer into. The school system says their student population is increasing. That creates this overcrowding. Right now, there are 24 schools in Wake County that are at full capacity. And another factor that plays into all of this is that there's going to be a new elementary school in Holly Springs. Students will have to move there. So this plan is going to have to go through several drafts before public hearings, but it could get approved by November. Kelsey Coffey, WREL News, live in Cary.
Republican lawmakers in Raleigh are looking for help from Democrats as budget negotiations creep forward slowly. The GOP-led legislature is at an impasse on the budget as casino gambling remains the sticking point. Not all Republicans agree on legalizing casinos, which is a key part of the budget. Meantime, Democrats are arguing Medicaid expansion, which is also tied to the budget, is being held up unjustly. Democrats are expected to release a counterproposal for the budget very soon. That would include larger raises for state employees. Raleigh police need your help tracking down this person they think robbed a bank in broad daylight. Now, take a good look at the picture captured from the bank's surveillance camera. It happened Monday afternoon, just before 1 o'clock, at First National Bank. It's on Creedmoor Road. Officers say the suspect handed the teller a note, implied that he had a weapon and demanded money. So far, no arrests have been made.
Not the best of times for Bryce Young and the Carolina Panthers during their home opener. The rookie QB got off to a slow start last night against the New Orleans Saints on Monday Night Football at Bank of America Stadium. There's some key defensive plays by the New Orleans Saints. You see it right there. A late comeback attempt by the Panthers wasn't enough, though. New Orleans won that game 20-17. Young says he takes responsibility for his mistakes.
That's just on me, making sure that I when it's there, I take advantage of it. Hitting throws that are missed, obviously, I have to do a better job of that.
The Panthers have now lost two straight games to start the season. The next game is Sunday on the road against Seattle.
Pittsburgh Steelers got a couple of big defensive plays on their way to a win over the Cleveland Browns. One of them right there. This is the first play of the game. Interception return for a touchdown. And then in the fourth quarter, a fumble return for a touchdown gave them the lead for good. The Steelers won the game 26-22. The Browns took another big loss in the game. Their star running back, Nick Chubb, went down with a season-ending knee injury.
The same knee injured in college as well. Our news continues now in the 8 o'clock hour here in Fox 50. Hispanic women in Durham are being targeted for crimes.
Last week, someone smashed the car window of one of our staff members.
Straight ahead, what local agencies are doing to help.
Tension between India and Canada escalating after accusations of a political assassination in British Columbia. The response from India's officials this morning.
And we have beautiful weather in our forecast for the next several days. Highs will be in the low to mid 80s. Nice cool mornings, lots of sunshine and low humidity. Until we get to the weekend, I'll show you a potential tropical system that could move up the coast and what we'll see here.
8:12 is the time right now on our Tuesday morning. That is blue skies over Lewisburg. It is a nice, crisp morning out there as you watch WRL News, available on YouTube TV and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. Good morning to you, Lewisburg. And we have plenty of other views from our WRL Live Cam Network right behind Elizabeth Gardner and the WRL Severe Weather Center.
Certainly is a gorgeous morning. That sun came up and we're seeing nothing but blue sky for the most part. A little bit of high thin cloud cover, but generally it's just going to be one of those stellar days. We take a look at Goldsboro, Fayetteville, of course, where our newsroom is, Apex, and of course Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. Just looking beautiful. We have a high pressure system that's keeping things gorgeous for us right now, but a cold front that's stalled off the coast, and we're going to see a low pressure system developing along the southern end of this front off the coast of Florida. That's going to track northward toward us this weekend. It's likely to be a low impact event in terms of, you know, rain and wind, but it'll still, you know, be impactful if you had plans to be outside on Saturday. It has the potential to take on some tropical characteristics, but just a 30% chance of that in the next 3 or 4 days. And whether it does or not, it's still likely to bring rain and some breezy conditions, at least to our coast. It's going to pick up some intensity as it moves through those warm Gulf Stream waters. And we take a look at the wave heights. Things pretty quiet midweek, but by the time we get to Thursday, we start to see our rip current danger really starting to climb. We're going to see some heavy surf along the coast. Maybe not as much as with some of the other systems that we've seen this summer into early fall, but definitely a little bit of an impact there. You can watch the low moving northward. This is going to be the worst case scenario that we have model-wise, with some rain coming into the triangle as early as 6 or 7 p.m. on Friday. This is Saturday at 6 p.m., that low rotating a lot of moisture in. It'll be breezy, but I wouldn't call it windy. And then the low keeps on trucking, but we'll still likely to be cloudy, and maybe we'll see a few isolated showers on Sunday, especially early in the day. So 40% chance Friday, 50 Saturday, 30 Saturday night, and into the day on Sunday. We have a different computer model that stays farther offshore with the low, and it's less rain for our area, but still some rain for the coast. So just keep checking back and we'll keep tweaking that forecast. Hurricane Nigel, 85 mile per hour winds. This is what we like to call a fish storm, where it's not likely to make landfall anywhere. So affecting the fish, maybe shipping channels possibly, but not impacting land. Another system coming off the coast of Africa, though, has a 70% chance of developing. Our next name is Ophelia, so we'll watch that one closely. Just beautiful, though, for today, tomorrow, and Thursday, looking at cool mornings and mild afternoons. On Saturday, it is the first day of fall. It's cool, 72, but again, that's going to be because of some clouds and showers. We warm back into the mid-80s next week. Brett?
Thanks, Elizabeth. Let's take a look at traffic. We have an update to breaking news out on I-87 coming in from the Knightdale area near Smithfield Road. As we zoom in right there, this is the backups that we've been talking about all morning long, down way less of a backup than it was a short while ago. We actually have some video from Sky 5 that was over that scene at one point. There you are. You can see those major backups that were up to a 45-minute delay at one point, all because of a four-car crash that was in the blocking those inside two lanes. But that has since cleared at this point. That's the good news. So now we are starting to see those numbers improve, and I-87 has started to ease up. So let's take a look at, that's our live picture from the live camera network as well. But then let's take a look at I-40 westbound near US 70 Business. That is also another crash that we've been tracking all morning long that has caused about a 15 to 20 minute delay. That's starting to ease up a little bit as well. A couple of crashes over on I-40 eastbound has since cleared, and the one on the Durham Freeway has also cleared within the last 5 or 10 minutes. It's Ken and Jeff.
Brett, thanks. Well, the Durham Police Department is trying to track down the people accused in a string of crimes targeting Hispanic women. Officers say several victims reported being robbed or carjacked by suspects in ski masks. There have been at least 5 incidents. Investigators say they happened between September 3rd and September 12th at a bus stop, an apartment complex, and in a business parking lot. WRL spoke with a local organization serving the Hispanic community about the crimes. That organization says one of its co-workers was a victim of this spree.
Last week, someone smashed the car window of one of our staff members just in the parking lot outside of one of our offices in Durham.
Well, Bernice Malagone says there are several factors that make the Hispanic community vulnerable to these types of crimes. She says it includes them being less likely to report the incident to authorities due to immigration concerns. El Centro Hispano encourages people to reach out for help through the process of reporting. You can find more information at elcentronc.org.
Candidates for Cary Town Council are providing plans and answers for people dealing with affordable housing issues. Last night, 600 people packed Greenwood Forest Baptist Church to hear how town council candidates will support residents there. A hot topic of conversation was a 40-acre property near downtown Cary called Chatham Square and Chatham Estates. Selling that property would displace hundreds of people and dozens of small businesses. An advocate for residents with the group One Wake told WRAL all candidates said they would ensure Chatham Estates residents are fully compensated for relocation expenses.
Well, President Biden will attend the United Nations General Assembly today in New York as we look live at people assembling for that meeting. He plans to call for democracy and increased support for Ukraine. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky will also address the assembly today as well. Biden is also planning to meet with Zelensky sometime this week, but it's not clear if that meeting will happen in New York or at the White House.
Ken, on Thursday, Zelensky will be speaking to senators in Washington. According to a Senate leadership aide, leaders Schumer and McConnell will host an all-senators meeting with Zelensky Thursday morning. The meeting comes as Congress is weighing a White House request for additional aid to Ukraine. However, Republicans are fiercely divided over this issue. There are no plans for Zelensky to address a joint session of Congress.
In Louisiana, firefighters battling a massive wildfire now burning for more than a week. A state of emergency in effect for areas south of Baton Rouge because of the blaze, threatening homes and burning along a major highway. Crews have been working to contain that fire since last Sunday. So far, no injuries have been reported. Now, over the weekend, a local fire chief said crews had to break away in fighting the wildfire to handle more than a dozen other fire calls from people burning trash or limbs in their yards.
India's government is denying allegations that it was involved in the killing of a Canadian Sikh leader. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau rose in Parliament yesterday and accused India of being involved in the killing of Hardeep Singh Nijjar in British Columbia in June. He called it a political assassination. Today, India's Ministry of External Affairs called that absurd. In response to the allegations, India expelled a Canadian diplomat.
Hunter Biden is now taking legal action against the IRS. The president's son filed a lawsuit Monday. It claims the agency violated his privacy rights when two whistleblowers testified against about a tax investigation. Hunter says they sought to publicly damage his reputation. This new lawsuit comes just days after Hunter Biden was indicted on three gun charges.
Alec Murdaugh has worked out a plea deal on his federal financial charges. Lawyers for the convicted killer filed the deal Monday in federal court. A judge still needs to approve it. In the agreement, Murdaugh accepts guilty pleas to 22 federal charges, including wire fraud, bank fraud, and money laundering. Murdaugh was a personal injury lawyer and was accused of stealing from his clients. He's already serving two life sentences for the 2021 conviction on murders of his wife and son.
Well, this morning, for the first time in U.S. history, the national debt has reached $33 trillion. It comes as lawmakers battle out a deal to avoid a government shutdown. The Treasury Department released its latest fiscal report Monday. Two issues Republicans want in order to pass a bill which would extend funding through October. If a deal isn't reached, the U.S. could face its first government shutdown since 2019.
The town of Clayton is getting a new fire chief. Chief David Raines will begin the new role with the Clayton Fire Department October 16th. Chief Raines is a graduate of Fayetteville State and has 30 years of experience, the last 25 of which he served with the Cary Fire Department.
So now as the fire chief, you know, you get to look at all aspects of the fire service and be able to guide and direct and help with the future growth of the department.
Chief Raines went on to say being chosen to serve was an honor and a privilege.
Director John Waters now has his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. He was honored at a ceremony Monday. Two movies that Waters wrote and directed are in the U.S. Library of Congress's National Film Registry, Hairspray and Pink Flamingos. Waters also is the author of 10 books, and he has two albums.
Final preparations are happening for Benson's Mule Days. The fun gets started Thursday afternoon when the downtown vendors open up. Thursday night, it's live music and carnival rides beginning. The mule events start Friday, including the mule show and the mule race. You can also ride in a mule-drawn wagon. This festival brings in tens of thousands of people from all over each year. It runs through Sunday, and WRAL is a proud community partner.
Christmas is 97 days away, but it's never too early to let Santa know what you want to get in the giving spirit. The U.S. Postal Service's annual Letters to Santa program is now accepting letters. It allows children in need to have a great holiday. Generous strangers adopt letters and send the gifts anonymously. The letters can be sent to Santa Claus, 123 Elf Road, North Pole, 88888. They need to be postmarked by December 11th. Adoption begins November 20th. This is the 111th year for this program.
This little program update in Cumberland County. The headquarters library in Fayetteville will be closed tomorrow. We're told the staff is going to rearrange several collections to provide a better overall experience for visitors. The work is expected to last through Sunday. Could be a game changer for people who have severe allergies. Coming up in our next half hour, when an allergy treatment that does not require a needle could be at pharmacies around the U.S.
And parents in the largest school district in the state will find out today if their child could go to a different school next school year. We break down the reason for the adjustments and the reassignments, all coming up next on Fox 15.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good morning at 8:26. I'm Ken Smith. Hope you're having a good morning. You're in for a beautiful summer day that feels really like fall. Let's get over to meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner, the WRAL Weather Center.
Hey, we'll take a look at our live cam network. Still sitting in the 50s in a lot of places here in the 8 o'clock hour. A little breezy there in Wilson. You can see the whirligig spinning a little bit. 58 degrees, 57 in Durham, and 63 in Fayetteville. So pleasantly cool this morning. It's going to be an absolutely beautiful day. You really don't need to grab anything heading out the door. Maybe a little bit of a light jacket if you're going to be standing around outside for a bit this morning. But by lunchtime, we climb into the mid-70s. If you're going to be taking the dog out to noon, looking great. We'll see a high of 83. When you get home from work, temperatures will be back into the 70s with lots of sunshine. Brett?
Thanks, Elizabeth. Let's take a look at traffic. And we have great news over on I-87 coming in from the Knightdale area, down to a 9-minute delay. At one point, that was 45 minutes, all because of a crash that shut down two lanes, the inside left lanes near Smithfield Road. And our sensors have really started to improve as well. Our live camera is also out there at I-87 at Smithfield Road. And you can see a little bit of the backups that are starting to work their way out there, but that's good news as that has started to improve. We're still tracking this crash on I-40 westbound near US 70 Business. That's still causing about a 20-minute delay coming in from the Johnson County area, Ken.
Today, Wake County school leaders will talk about a reassignment plan that could shuffle students in and out of 21 schools. Students will be moved out of overcrowded schools and into schools closer to their homes. Well, today, the graduate student accused of shooting and killing a UNC professor on campus last month is due back in court. Tai-Lei Chi is charged with first-degree murder. He's accused of shooting and killing Professor C.J. Yen on campus on August 28th. Next on Fox 50, what we know about a meeting happening today about this year's Christmas parade in Raleigh. And up next on today, Stanley Tucci shares a family recipe live in Studio 1A.
Shot in 4K ultra-high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Such a beautiful morning on our hands. Lots of sunshine here in Sanford, but our temperatures are still on the cool side. I'll show you how long it'll feel refreshing coming up.
If their students will be assigned to new schools next school year. Coming up, I'll explain everything you need to know if your student is impacted.
And the Carolina Panthers need to regroup just a bit after dropping their home opener to the Saints. The changes the team will be looking to make after trying to find their first win of the season came up empty again, you know, 0-2 as they get the season started there. Not pushing the panic button yet, like a lot of folks.
And the Saints have one of the top defenses in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, let's go there.
They shut down some people in their first go-around. Thanks for joining us. We'll get into all that here this morning. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Ken Smith. Of course, we're scoring big time with this nice weather we're having. Mm-hmm. Let's get back over to meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner, the WS Severe Weather Center, tracking a beautiful day for us.
Yeah, lots of sunshine out there, cool, low humidity, everything you want in a fall day. And it's close. You know, fall actually starts on Saturday. This is a live look at Zebulon and their historic town hall. 57. Here we are at 8:30. Temperature still in the 50s and our dew point sitting at 55. It just feels phenomenal out there. Beginning to warm up in a couple of spots. So it's 63 in Fayetteville, 60 in Clinton and Goldsboro, and 60 right now in South Hill. And we're going to warm up into the mid-70s by lunchtime. Highs will be in the low 80s this afternoon. Just feeling fantastic all day long. For the weekend, though, we'll see a low that develops off the coast of Florida and Georgia. There's a small chance that it would have tropical characteristics, but even if it doesn't, it's still likely to move northward and bring some rain to North Carolina over the weekend. This is 6 p.m. on Friday, and you can see the potential for that rain to wrap around as we get into the day on Saturday. The models are not in great agreement in terms of how much rain we may see. Certainly the coast looks wet, but as we get closer and we get more model runs in, we'll have a better idea of how much rain we'll see and the timeline.
Well, today, the graduate student accused of shooting and killing a UNC professor on campus last month is due back in court. Tai Lee Chi is charged with first-degree murder and is being held without bond. He's accused of shooting and killing Professor C.J. Yin on campus on August 28th. The shooting prompted a campus-wide lockdown.
Today, parents in Wake County will find out if their kids will be changing schools next year. The changes are a way to address overcrowding in classrooms. WRL's Kelsey Coffey explains this plan could affect kids at more than 20 schools.
Today, parents of students across 21 Wake County schools will find out if their child will have to go to a new school next school year. Discussions have been happening here at the board about approving this proposed plan. The students would move out of overcrowded schools or into schools closer to their homes under the plan. But some students who are in traditional calendar schools would have to move to year-round schools and vice versa. 22 year-round schools would no longer have a dedicated traditional calendar school that students could apply to transfer into. The school system says their student population is increasing. That creates overcrowding. And right now, there are 24 schools in Wake County that are at full capacity. Another factor in all of this is that there's going to be a new elementary school in Holly Springs. Students will have to be sent there, and this plan will go through some drafts before public hearings and should be approved by November. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News, and Cary.
Well, students at NC State have the day off today to focus on their mental health. This wellness day was previously scheduled on the school year calendar. The university says the purpose is to give students the opportunity to evaluate how they're doing during this busy semester. They're encouraged to check themselves, check in on friends and colleagues. This day also includes events all across campus to support mental health and well-being.
Happening today, we expect to get new information about the plan for this year's Raleigh Christmas Parade. They'll be speaking at City Council in Raleigh. Greater Raleigh Merchants Association tells WRL the group will be sharing its point of view about the changes to this longtime tradition. Other members of the public have signed up to talk about the changes as well. Late last week, the city reached a compromise with the Merchants Association to let the show go on without vehicles or floats. The city had originally canceled the parade over safety concerns after a girl was hit and killed by a pickup truck that lost its brakes. You'll be able to watch this year's parade live on WRAL. Saturday, November 18th, 9 a.m. is the time for the 50th year of broadcasting the parade live on WRAL.
Well, NC State students are on high alert this morning after a sexual assault report. Police say a man forced a student into a car off Hillsborough Street at about 11 yesterday morning. Police say the man took the student to another place where the sexual assault happened. Of course, this incident shocking many students on campus, saying now more than ever they need to look out for one another.
I think it's crazy because I feel like there should be like a bunch of bystanders around, and like the fact that no one like picked up on that, I don't know. Not to like blame anyone, but like you would just think that like maybe someone would have like seen it or like tried to help her out in some way.
Police say it doesn't appear a weapon was used. NC State and Raleigh police are both investigating.
A Wake Forest man is facing life in prison or the death penalty after investigators say he killed his wife. It was an emotional day in court Monday when 63-year-old Swan Thon Pham made his first appearance. This was since being arrested. He is accused of stabbing his wife in a domestic-related incident earlier this month. And this point in court you're seeing here, the suspect had an outburst. We could be heard sobbing. A judge appointed him a capital defender. Pham remains in jail this morning without bond.
Well, Doom City Council, city workers, rather, holding firm on their demands for higher pay. They rallied at City Hall last night before Durham City Council's meeting. Workers are calling for a $5,000 bonus to all city employees making less than $75,000 a year. They estimate there are about 1,300 workers eligible for that bonus. This comes after the city manager proposed smaller bonuses last week.
It was significantly lower than what we asked for. We're not satisfied with it. And we intend to do whatever we have to do in order to get what we're asking for.
We see you in the room. We thank you for your service. We thank you for keeping our city safe and clean and healthy. And yes, you do deserve it. You do deserve it.
Mayor Pro Tem Mark Anthony Middleton, whom you just heard from, invited the workers back to City Hall Thursday when council will take up this issue again.
Again, more auto workers could go on strike by the end of this week. More than 12,000 workers have been on strike against the big three automakers since Friday, calling for pay increases. Well, now the union's president says there will be additional strikes starting Friday at noon if significant progress is not made in negotiations. The union has met with each of the auto companies since the strike began, but very little progress has been made.
The proposed youth curfew in Fayetteville is not moving forward. City Council voted last night 73 to reject the ordinance presented by Police Chief Kim Braden. It would have made it unlawful for anyone 18 and under to be out between 1 a.m. and 5 a.m. on weekends and midnight to 5 a.m. on weekdays. For anyone 16 and under, it would have gone into effect at 11 each night. Braden said the curfew could reduce youth crime. Council members who voted against it said they need more input from the school board, social services, and other agencies before moving forward. Bryce Young and the Carolina Panthers didn't get the home opener they were hoping for. The rookie QB got off to a slow start last night against the New Orleans Saints on Monday Night Football at Bank of America Stadium. It was a defensive battle. Key plays like that one you see there by the Saints gave them the edge. A late comeback attempt from the Panthers wasn't enough, though. New Orleans won that game 20-17. Coming up in less than 10 minutes, WR's Chris Lee and Pat Walter break down what went wrong as the Panthers get ready for their next game Sunday in Seattle.
New this morning, the Powerball jackpot climbs once again. It's now up to $672 million after no one won last night. The winning numbers, 2, 21, 26, 40, 42, Powerball 9, the Power Play multiplier 3. Someone here in North Carolina did match four numbers, and the Powerball, that's a $50,000 prize. It is now the 10th largest jackpot in Powerball history. The next drawing is tomorrow night at 11 on WRAL.
We're coming up on 8:40 now. Tourism in West Maui could start up again, despite many residents being displaced as a result of those wildfires.
Once I heard October 8, I was in shock.
Coming up, we hear from residents who say it's too soon to welcome back visitors.
Blink 182 fans, listen up. The band is back with a new album. Everything you need to know about it coming up.
Heading to break, we're going to give you a live look now at very tranquil Lake Gaston. It's going to be slightly warmer today, but the humidity is low. We'll check back in with meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner on your 7-day forecast. Welcome back at 8:43 as we look live at Clinton this morning. It's a beautiful Carolina. Blue skies hanging over that community. And wherever you look, we're in for a beautiful summer day that really feels more like fall, Elizabeth.
It does. Feels gorgeous out there right now. Lots of sunshine, blue sky, 57 degrees, dew point 55. It'll be in the mid-70s at lunchtime, so hopefully you get a chance to enjoy some of this beautiful weather. High pressure is in control of our weather right now, bringing us all that sunshine. High pressure systems rotate clockwise, so this high is helping to drag down some cooler, drier air from the north. Stepping outside today, our temperatures are anywhere from 5 to 10 degrees cooler than they were this time time yesterday. 63 in Fayetteville, 62 Clinton, but still 58 in Rocky Mount, 57 in Durham, and 57 there in Southern Pines. And you can see here, not as big a change now for South Hill and Fayetteville, but at least in some places, it's between 5 and 7 degrees cooler. Earlier this morning, in some spots, it was 12 degrees cooler than it had been at that time yesterday. 83 for Raleigh this afternoon, 81 Durham, 84 in Fayetteville, lots and lots of sunshine. Our normal high is 82, so we're very close to that all the way through Friday. Now, we will see a drop in our temperature on Saturday, and that's assuming that we have a coastal low that's going to bring us some rain on and off during the day on Saturday, and that looks like a good likelihood right now. We're going to walk through the timeline, and I'll show you what we're expecting with that. We may continue to see some cloud cover on Sunday and a few isolated showers, but the computer models don't really have a good handle on the timeline of that just yet. We'll talk more about it in just a second. Feeling comfortable out there. Dew points are in the 50s all the way through tomorrow, and then bump up a little bit. Thursday and Friday will still feel comfortable. Saturday will feel a little more moist because we'll most likely have some rain in the area. Here's a look at where that system is likely to develop. It could have some tropical elements to it. It could become a tropical depression, but even if it doesn't develop any tropical characteristics, it's still likely to bring some rain northward. This is one of the computer models that on Friday starts to push the rain in, and then it's started to keep it a little bit farther offshore. We've got another computer model that pushes it a lot farther inland. So again, just not a lot of agreement on, you know, how much rain we might end up seeing on Saturday. So we'll keep our eye on it. This version of Futurecast does show as much as an inch in Raleigh, half an inch in Durham, as much as almost 2 inches in Fayetteville and 2.5 inches in Clinton. Definitely seeing some heavier rainfall totals along the coast, but even there, it's not likely to be a high impact event. It is likely to cause high rip current danger, though, again, for this weekend. Looking pretty for the next few days, mild in the afternoons with low humidity. On Saturday, it's the first day of fall, and of course, it'll be cooler at 72. By Monday, we're dry again and warming back into the mid-80s.
Five Americans who have been wrongfully detained in Iran for years are back home now as part of a prisoner exchange. The Americans include three who were accused of espionage and jailed in 2018. The White House is defending the exchange, which includes the release of five Iranian prisoners and $6 billion in frozen assets. Critics say the Biden administration is paying a ransom.
These monies can be used to support terrorist organizations, Hezbollah, Hamas.
For the last minute, Secretary of State Antony Blinken says the money can only be used for humanitarian needs, and the U.S. has oversight as to how it is used. The administration also says it'll refreeze that money if Iran violates any sanctions.
Well, this morning, for the first time in U.S. history, the national debt reaching $33 trillion. It comes as lawmakers battle out a deal to avoid a government shutdown. The Treasury Department released its latest fiscal report on Monday. Two issues Republicans want in order to pass a bill which could extend funding through October. If a deal isn't reached, the U.S. will face its first government shutdown since 2019. The military investigating pieces of a stealth fighter jet to try to learn why it crashed near Charleston, South Carolina. Searchers yesterday say they found parts of the plane after a massive search. The F-35 jet crashed over the weekend. The pilot was able to eject from the plane before it crashed. Joint Base Charleston says the U.S. Marine Corps is now handling the recovery process.
West Maui is scheduled to open once again to tourists on October 8th. It's a decision that's caused some backlash from people there who are still recovering from the devastating wildfires on that island. Residents say many people are still struggling to access clean water and find places to stay after being displaced. There have even been there's a petition to delay the October 8th date. It got more than 3,000 signatures in less than a day. Many say it's too soon to welcome visitors and say the needs of the community should come first.
We're making accommodations for tourism, but we cannot even make accommodations for displaced residents such as myself.
Hawaii's Governor Josh Green says the decision to reopen West Maui was not taken lightly.
Well, today we could learn if a nasal allergy treatment will get FDA approval. It's a nasal epinephrine spray that helps treat anaphylaxis without using an EpiPen. Back in May, an advisory committee recommended the FDA approve the spray. Its review of those recommendations is expected to be released sometime today.
Tough one for the Carolina Panthers in the home opener. Didn't go exactly as they had hoped. Now, WRL's Chris Lee and Pat Welter were there, Bank of America Stadium. They break down what happened in the team's Monday night football game.
Well, well, well. In the NFC South, everybody is 2-0 except The Carolina Panthers.
They are 0-2 after their 20-17 loss to the New Orleans Saints on Monday Night Football. And there's two stats that stand out to me. One, the Saints had three drives, 10 plays or more, each time the Panthers' offense answered with a three and out. Number two is that Bryce Young only had 92 yards passing before the final drive where the Panthers finally scored a touchdown.
And the quiet part out loud right now is that everything they said about him was right, that he is too small, that he's not physically gifted enough to succeed in the NFL. But let me get my butt in. You got to remember, Ryan Tannehill and the Titans, a veteran quarterback in this league, had three interceptions, didn't score a single touchdown versus the Saints last week. So this team, they believe in each other, and they believe in Bryce Young.
Obviously, we're not where we need to be right now. But, you know, there's no loss of confidence, no loss of faith in the locker room. You know, I'm grateful to be a part of this team. I believe in the team, believe in the coaching staff.
And, yes, I'm not saying I went there, Chris. I'm just saying that's what people are saying, because this is Monday Night Football. That's what they watch on national TV, and he did look small. And I asked Bryce Young, how is this size translating so far to the NFL? And he's like, look, I've never been tall. I can't look in the mirror and grow. This is what it is.
Here's something that always translated. He always came across with an exuberant amount of confidence. Mm-hmm. Today in the locker room when he was walking past everybody, no confidence at all. He just did not look like he was into it. But how could you feel that way after your team is 0-2 and he just lost his home opener? We'll see what the Panthers do this coming Sunday when they go against the Seattle Seahawks at 4:05.
Jeff, are we too quick to judge?
Come on. Two games in. Give this kid a break.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. There's a long list of first overall quarterback picks who have lost a couple of their first games.
Most notably, Troy Aikman, 1989. He didn't win a single game in his first year with the Dallas Cowboys. So
I think he won a couple Super Bowls, too.
Yeah, and he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So I think he'll be fine. Bryce Young will be fine. Well, if you still aren't registered to vote, today is the perfect day to do it. It's National Voter Registration Day. The day is meant to encourage eligible Americans to register prior to elections. Now, according to data from the U.S. Census Bureau, one in four Americans aren't registered to vote or don't know if they are. In an effort to help, more than 3,500 organizations will help people register or update their registration today. You can check if your registration is up to date by checking the status on vote.gov.
Another music artist sells their entire music catalog, an iconic band releasing a new album next month, and much more. Ashley Dvorkin has more of all this at the Hollywood Nation.
Katy Perry cashes in on her music. The pop superstar sold her catalog to Litmus Music, which includes the singer's stake in the royalties and music publishing rights to her five albums released between 2008 and 2020. According to Billboard, the company reportedly paid Perry $225 million for the deal. She is the latest artist to sell her music rights, following Justin Bieber, who sold his earlier this year. They told us. New music from Blink-182 is on the way. The band announced their album One More Time will be released October 20th. It's their first record with Tom DeLonge, who rejoined the group in 2022. They will drop the album's title track Thursday.
What can I do for you?
Nicolas Cage is on the hunt in today's First Looks. Saban Films has released a new trailer to the upcoming Western Butcher's Crossing, featuring the Oscar winner as a buffalo hunter who heads out on a dangerous expedition. The film arrives in theaters October 20th.
We're going to kill Chucky, guys.
And Chucky unleashes terror at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. The official trailer to the third season of the Sci-Fi and USA Network series shows the murderous doll making a move to the White House after becoming a new friend till the end, with the president's youngest son. The show returns October 4th.
Chucky looks the same. Nicolas Cage is a little frightening, though, in that role. Wow. That was Ashley Dvorkin reporting.
Well, hey, check this out. People in parts of Missouri were able to see the Northern Lights on Monday. There were also reports of the phenomenon in Indiana and Wisconsin, even New York City. How about that?
Is that really Northern Lights? That is wild.
Yeah.
Crazy. People in Disney got the surprise of a lifetime. A black bear prompted some areas to close. This video shows the moments that black bear was captured right in Magic Kingdom Monday in Florida. Officials say it is being relocated now. They believe the bear was just looking around for some food, maybe a picnic basket. Nearly a dozen attractions had to be closed. Authorities worked to capture that adult female, and then they later reopened the park.
Yeah, boy, what a sight, right? Heading to break, here's a look at your North Carolina Education winning lottery numbers. We'll get another check of weather and traffic next.